to once again, as with David, welcome all of you here, especially those who are visiting with us. We have a number of new faces today, and we're always overjoyed when guests come to be with us, and we want you to know that you are special to us, and we are very thankful that you are here. And as David mentioned, if you did not already, please fill out one of our visitors' cards, and we would love to have that information and be able to keep in contact with you. And we hope that you'll be able to make it back to be with us every opportunity that you have. I want to very quickly express our appreciation to everyone, but especially to the ladies, for the shower yesterday. I was obviously not here, but I saw the pictures, and when I got home, I saw the result. And I have but one problem now. You've heard of a barn raising. Next Saturday, I invite all the men to our house to have a room raising. I, at one point this week, had a place for that child to be, and it is no more, but that's all right. But we appreciate everything that was done for us and the outpouring of love that was shown toward us, and we simply cannot thank you enough for everything that you did. I do want to remind you also of coming up in April, our sermon series of why, or what it rather, what it really means or truly means to be a Christian. And I hope that you have been talking with friends and neighbors and co-workers, or just people out in the community that maybe you've never seen before, and inviting them to that study. And I hope that it will be beneficial to us especially, but I hope that it would be beneficial as well to any who would come and be with us, and to our guests. We hope that that you would return and be with us, especially for that month of study on what it truly means to be a New Testament Christian. In Jeremiah's day, the people of Israel had long since before time separated themselves away from and had progressed themselves away from God's willful ambition for their lives. And it was because of their idolatrous ways and because of their evil ways that they had separated themselves from God and had rejected both His presence among them as well as His blessings to them. And you don't have to read very far into Jeremiah before you begin to see Jeremiah illustrating in Scripture just how bad things had gotten among them because they had progressed away from God's ways. For instance, in Jeremiah 7 and verse 24, Jeremiah would make reference to the fact that the people had walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and that they had gone backward rather than forward. In Jeremiah 8 and verse 5, he would refer to their apostasy as a perpetual backsliding. In Jeremiah 42:18 and 44 and verse 6, he would warn them that they had kindled the fire of God's anger. In chapter 2 and verse 22, he would instruct them and warn them that even soap and lye could not wash away the stains and blemishes of their iniquity. Jeremiah 6 and verse 20, he said that their burnt offerings were not even acceptable to God any longer because they had offended Him so very badly. Jeremiah 13 verse 23, he told them that there was no more hope of their doing good than for the Ethiopian to change his skin. And Jeremiah 8 and verse 20, he provided for them these words of warning and doom. He said, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. All but stripping all hope from these people of the fact that they would ever, ever turn back and do that which was proper and right before God." And so it came down to this. Jeremiah had but one thing that he could do for these people. And that was what God told him in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. To stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You see, his plea was to spread forth among all the land a return to the ancient precepts of God. And it was only according to the restoration of divine truth that good would ever come among these people once again. You see, long ago when God had given to Moses to then relate unto the people His law and expectation for them, He had stipulated that any blessing of which they would be the recipients would be conditioned upon their obedience to His law. When they went into the land of Canaan, and they were then to dispel the inhabitants and to then dwell there themselves, He told them that only if they would trust in Him would He deliver them through battle. At times He didn't deliver them. Why? Because they had not met the condition of obedience. The obedience to law. At various other times throughout the history of Israel, you will see them explicitly rejecting God's counsel and expectation for their lives, and on every occasion, God would have to send forth a consequence to warn them of the seriousness and gravity of their actions. And so His final instruction to Jeremiah, who had been sent to prophesy among the people, and to warn them, if you do not remedy your ways, your fate will be even as worse than that of your elder sister, the northern kingdom of Israel, who had long since before gone off into Assyrian captivity. Jeremiah's final means of reaching them was to come back and to seek once again the old paths. But even with that direction from God to Jeremiah, it came with this warning. Jeremiah, you're going to go to these people and you're going to preach your heart out. You are going to weep over their condition, and you will have great lamentation for their consequences. But Jeremiah, their response is going to be, we will not walk therein. Was that a statement to discourage Jeremiah from trying to get them to once again seek the old paths? No. Because even with the realization they would reject it, his expectation was still to go. I believe this statement was more of a heads up to allow Jeremiah to prepare himself for the discouragement and the despair that he would have to suffer in the midst of his failure. And brethren, in thousands of years, since Jeremiah's time of work and the time of obedience of these ancient people, in application, what has really changed? You see, here in Jeremiah 6 and throughout the book of Jeremiah, you have a nation, a society, that has progressed themselves away from divine truth into their own distinct and personal innovations. And is that not exactly the time in which we are living in principle? In which we live in a nation and in essence a world society that has done much of the same, progressing itself not in God's expectation but away from God's expectation, seeking then personal preference and innovation. It was just shortly after the church was established that we begin, even in the New Testament, to see people beginning to stray from God's truth. And since time, we have found the religious world to progress away in so many different areas. The organization of the church, the worship of the church, the redemption of the church, the morality, the authority, the service of the church. And all of this progression has not brought us closer together, but rather it has split and it has divided itself along these prejudicial and preferential lines. And then in the midst of it all, still has the audacity to ask, where is the unity? Friends, you know as well as I do that we have but one hope. To withstand the so-called progress and rather to fall back onto ancient precepts. And that is that we, just like Jeremiah instructs these people, we must seek the old paths because it's therein that we have hope. But from Jeremiah 6:16, I want us to spend just a few moments this morning in looking at this particular verse and seeing what it was about the old paths that Jeremiah says made them so appealing and so effective. You see, many people think that anything old is automatically outdated and outmoded, is without use. And yet in the Bible we see the opposite of such being stated. Rather than progressing, we need to be falling back upon those ancient precepts. Why, Jeremiah? What is so great about them? Why is the old so much better than the new? I think Jeremiah tells us in three ways this morning what it is about the old paths that make them so effective and so appealing to those who are earnestly and honestly seeking the blessings of God upon their lives as they live in accordance to God's will. The first of which is the plea of the old paths. Notice that in Jeremiah 6:16, the plea of these old paths is threefold. It's very quick, it's very short, but it's very, very enlightening. And that threefold plea of the old paths is to ask, to see, and to stand. Now let's elaborate on these three just a little bit more as we begin to deepen our thoughts regarding these old paths. Number one, Jeremiah says that they needed to ask for the old paths. And in the same way, we should be asking for the old paths today. Because by asking for the old paths, what we are doing is that we are realizing that my depravity and absolute destitution is the result of being outside of God's will. You see, sin is consuming. It's like quicksand. You take one step in and before you know it, you're in this deep. It's consuming. And if we are not careful, then any progression away from truth we're going to find to be one more stake driven deeper into sin. And so the question arises, how is it that I can come out of such a state of depravity and destitution as sin and unrighteousness and iniquity results in my life? Jeremiah's answer is, ask for the old paths. And I believe we find not only there, but throughout Scripture, that the means by which we then ask is by seeking divine truth. John 17:17. Christ's prayer unto the Father on behalf of His disciples was that He would sanctify them through Thy truth. What does it mean to be sanctified? Well, that means to be set apart. Set apart from who? The world. 1 Peter 2:9. And a host of other passages that would differentiate the church or the called out of God from those who are darkened and blemished by the iniquity of sin. And so from sin and from the world we are literally called out, or we are set apart, sanctified, to the Word of God that we must seek in order to find such sanctification and redemption. But brethren, it comes but by one means, and that is, number one, by asking for the old paths. Which means when a question might arise, such as Peter was asked in Acts 2 and verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, from where am I going to derive my answer? Am I going to be seeking it from the creeds and the manuals and the catechisms and such what of men that are new and progressive? Or am I rather going to seek the old paths and simply ask for that which God would provide? And so the plea of the old paths, number one, is to ask. And I'm only going to ask if I realize the state in which I currently am. But number two, Jeremiah says that we must see. And in response to my search for an instruction in the old paths, that means I must be willing to see, to perceive them, to receive that truth. You see, it's one thing to be looking for it, but it's a whole other thing to, when I find it, take it. There are a number of people in this world, I imagine, that wholeheartedly want to know what God's will for them is. And I am filled and overflowed with joy when I come across someone of that nature who honestly wants to know what God's will is. But how sad is it then to reveal to them from Scripture what God's will is, only to see them reject it because it's not what they thought it would be. You see, they were asking for it, but when they got it, they weren't willing to see it. Upon my instruction and search for that truth, I need to be, well, I must be as the noble Bereans in Acts 17:11, who Paul said were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. I love that statement about the Bereans. They received the word. You see, it was not just that they heard it and immediately dismissed it. It was that they heard it and they accepted it inasmuch as it was parallel to God's word. They searched the Scriptures daily, but upon that confirmation, they received it into their lives. Meaning that they obeyed it, they lived it. And truth is a very, very formidable foe to this progression, the progression of the Israelites. And it is a very formidable foe to the progression of those today. Because truth will always cast down error and will always exalt itself as God's true will for man. And so we must ask, we must see, but then number three, Jeremiah says that we must stand for the old paths. Meaning that upon receiving truth, my responsibility is to literally set that as my foundation. Stand myself solidly upon it. And what might you think is significant about Jeremiah's use of the word stand? Why do you think perhaps he didn't say sit upon it or lay upon it? Well, I think you see there the word stand is making reference to the position of power and strength. I'm at my strongest, not when I'm sitting and not when I'm laying, but when I'm standing. And it's this power and strength that's not inherent in self. But any power and strength that I derive as a child of God who is earnestly seeking the will of Jesus Christ comes through truth. And was that not Paul's plea to Timothy, a young man who was himself mature, but someone who needed the added encouragement? 1 Timothy 6:20 and 21, Paul would say, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Paul was saying, Timothy, you have all of these innovations and these progressions, and he says, just shun them from your life and stand yourself firmly and solidly upon the old paths. Why? For therein is hope. And by seeking those old paths, we find that we then are seeking not the way of the world, not the way of man, not my way, but by following that threefold plea, we then are seeking God's way. And in the end, is that not all that really matters? Number two, though, not only does Jeremiah tell us the effect and the appeal of the old paths falls along the line of its plea, but also because of its position. Notice again in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, he said, stand ye in the way, see, ask, and stand for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein? I think from this verse we easily see Jeremiah saying that the old paths are solidly established foursquare upon truth. Truth in the Old Testament, but as it pertains to us, when we are then seeking and standing solidly upon the old paths, where are we standing? We are standing foursquare upon the strength and the power of the gospel, God's means of salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16. And is it not true that if the religious world is truly seeking unity, that they would not fulfill the true work and the true expectation of God? You see, it's not going to be through the progression away from God's Word, because as we progress, what are the progressions based upon? Well, they can't be based upon God's Word. Why? Because they're progressing from God's Word. Now, any progressions outside of God's Word have to be solely based upon personal preference. Now, you take one person's preferences over here, who's progressed themselves away from the truth. You take another person's preferences here that have progressed themselves away from the truth. And then you have a third person over here whose preferences have progressed them away from the truth. And all three are different. All of them are solely based upon their own personal self and desire. How then is there going to be unity? Is it even possible? No, because there's no common denominator. Because you have personal preference, personal preference, personal preference, and it's all different. There's no common denominator. Now, you and I recognize the fact that the only means of unity is if you find that common denominator, that common factor. And the only factor that we can find common among us is if we respect the authority of the Word of God. And that is where we must stand. A return to the old Jerusalem gospel. And it's therein that we will find unity. Notice a few passages in the New Testament that would relate to such. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 10, where on that occasion you remember Paul writing to the church and warning them of the departures that seemed to be imminent. And he said that, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, but though we are an angel from heaven preaching any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. And then in verses 9 and 10, he goes on and repeats the same thought, that any other gospel and the advocates of such are to be rejected and accursed. It is unacceptable for me to state my personal desire on anything but the absolute standard of God's Word. Upon that I must stand. In Jude verses... excuse me, Jude verses 3 and 4, we find Jude telling us that it's that old Jerusalem gospel that's worth fighting for. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you or to encourage you, to build you up as it pertains to the need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude, how is it you're going to deal with this problem? Contend for the faith. Seek and stand solidly upon the old paths. And then Revelation 22, 18 and 19. I know you probably can't see that. I apologize for that. John's telling the people, don't add to, don't take away, stand solidly and firmly upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? That's where the old paths are positioned. And if we then will position ourselves upon those old paths too, we shall find ourselves in good and firm standing before our God. But not only does Jeremiah say that it's the plea and the position of the old paths that makes it so very effective and appealing, but number three, it's because of the promise of the old paths. Going back to Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, what does Jeremiah say is the result of asking and seeing and standing upon those paths of old? He said that in that ye shall find rest for your souls. Brethren, I can think of no greater prize to be won, no greater gift that could be received than the opportunity to that at the end, once the toiling and once the laboring is all over, to be able to look forward to an eternity of rest. And that is exactly what God is providing for those who will come. You know how hard a life in sin must be? I'm not just talking about the occasional sin. I'm talking about a life that is wholly given to sin. Can you imagine how hard that life must be? To always have to cover a lie, to always have to cover a sin, to always have to deal with the consequences of one's actions, I imagine that it's very tiring, very difficult, very hard. And I think it shows even upon the faces of those that are involved in such. And those that are in it are torn. They're trying desperately to satisfy the desires of everyone, including themselves, all the while knowing realistically, it's never possible. All the while, you and I, seekers, followers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, recognize there's only one expectation placed upon me. It's not to fulfill the satisfaction of myself. It's not to fulfill the satisfaction of you or anybody else in the world. The one sole expectation that is placed upon my shoulders as a child of God, one who has sought the old paths and is trying to stand firmly and solidly upon them, is to satisfy God. And that's it. If everybody else is satisfied, as we might say, that's just gravy. But first and foremost, my expectation, satisfaction toward God. And the result is I will be blessed. And it's not the promise of the old paths to which Jeremiah referred, not the very same thing to which Christ referred in Matthew chapter 11, in verses 28 through 30, when He made this plea unto all to come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. What Lord, did you say rest for your souls? I find a connection there. How then is it, Lord, that I come? Seek the old paths, for therein is hope. And it is in that rest where one day I shall enjoy the bliss and the absolute peace of a place where there is no suffering, no sorrow, no sin, for all are excluded. Revelation chapter 21. John, in this vision, said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor pain, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And then we come down to the end of the chapter, and words that should strike such awe and fascination and absolute satisfaction and joy within our lives. He says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. An absolute paradise, an oasis from that in which we've had to live in this world. And is it not the case that toiling and laboring and working through life for God, that we would not look forward to that rest for the soul? Friends, that's what's awaiting us. A place without sin, a place without suffering, a place without sorrow. It is going to be everything this world is not and much more. And that is exactly what Jeremiah says will be the promise unto all those who will earnestly and honestly and devotedly seek the old paths. Friends, that's all our plea is for us and for you. We're not asking you to submit yourselves to any preferences of us, to any creeds or doctrines of man. If ever a creed or doctrine of man was to be stated from this pulpit or anywhere else in this building, hopefully it would be immediately dispelled. The only plea that we have is the plea that God gave to Jeremiah. Seek the old paths. Why? Because that's where there is hope. And that's the only place where there's hope. And this morning, that's the only place in which we can find the hope that we are so desperately seeking. And if you are here and without God, without hope, without redemption, without salvation, what hope do you have outside of God's precepts, the old paths? Seek them. They're right here. And they are waiting for you to obey, so that God might bless you in an abundant and eternal fashion. Will you come this morning? One who has never obeyed the gospel or become a child of God, will you come and do just what God said to do? Nothing more, but certainly nothing less. Having heard the word of God in Romans 10:17, will you believe it? That Jesus is God's own Son, John 8:24? Are you willing to repent of your sin, Luke 13:3-5, confess your faith before us, Romans 10:10, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 22:16? That's what God said to do. We're not asking you to do anything more, but certainly nothing less. Won't you come? Or as a child of God who's wandered and departed the faith, will you come back? Repent of your sins, confess them, pray to God for forgiveness. He promises that He will forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness if you'll come. You have that opportunity now if you will but seek the old paths, and we hope that you will, while together we stand and sing.